Yep. So when they do get here, some of the guys can go ahead. It won't disturb us at all if some of you guys want to help them get in. So that's okay. But we'll get started. Okay. Let's take our hymn books this morning. We'll sing a few choruses from the hymn book 729. 729.
Thank you. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before.
Here's
what God's Word says. Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Won't take too long to talk about it, but notice there are three aspects there of the man who is blessed of the Lord. He walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Notice the progression. He walks toward it, then stands, and then sits. And by the way, that's the same progression that happened in the life of Lot. If you remember him from the Old Testament, he pitched his tent towards Sodom. He headed that direction. Then he went into the city, and then we find out later he was part of the council that was governing that town. And yet he knew what was wrong. But we don't know that unless we look at the New Testament. So, all right, so that's our passage for today. Let's say Psalm 1 together. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful.
Okay, somebody wrote here. Who was that?
All right, good. We good? All right, good. Three levels of worldliness: walking, standing, and sitting. Casual contact with the world, that's walking. Considerable contact with the world, that's standing. Comfortable contact with the world, that's sitting. You're walking through the world, it gets your attention, you stop, and you give it more consideration. And as long as you're giving it more consideration, before you know it, you're sitting down and you're actually comfortable in that world. Kind of reminds me of the illustration of the frog. You know how they talk about putting a frog in the water and then you put fire on there and it just gradually heats it up and it doesn't realize it until it's almost too late. Amen. But anyway, this morning in 1 Peter, we're going to begin. It's certainly good to be here, and it's good to see the preacher here this morning. Amen. And I love the seat. Amen. I was almost tempted to sit in there, but I figured all those men that got up to help you in would be helping me out. Amen. But and some of them are pretty big, so I don't want to mess around. Amen. This morning, I want to preach what I've been preaching recently in some different churches. It's been in my heart, and so it's kind of like this is the track that I'm on. So it's not like I said, well, hold on a minute, let me see. This person could really use this up there. So I want to talk to you this morning from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 14 to 16. We're going to springboard from there. I think we're going to spend the day, depending on how things go, on this topic this morning. In 1 Peter chapter number 1, would you look with me, please, in verse number 14 throughout verse number 16. The Bible says this. Actually, we could throw in verse number 17, if you would. 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 14 through 17. The Bible says, as obedient children. Now, this is not necessarily written for the sake of the children. Amen. This is written for the sake of all of God's children. Amen. If you're saved, you're a child of God. Amen. He came unto his own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them gave he the power, the authority to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. When you and I accept the Lord as our Savior and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we become children of God. Now, I know there are some religions that teach you cannot know now for sure that you're saved, but in 1 John chapter 3 says, beloved, now are we the sons of God. We don't wait to find out if we're sons. We know we're sons by faith in him. Amen. And so this is a message to all of God's children, that we need to be the kind of children, verse number 14 says, obedient children. Now, I believe that in this world, God has a lot of children. I believe there's a lot of saved people in this world today. But the fact of the matter is, listen, God's people in this world are the minority. Ain't that the truth? Can I get a witness? I'm going to read that one once in a while. Amen. God's people in this world today are the minority. But let me say this, and you know this to be true. Godly people are the minority of the minority. You understand what I'm saying here? There's a lot of God's people in this world today, but there's only a percentage, maybe we'll call it a tithe, 10% if you will, amen, of all of God's people are living like it, amen, as obedient children. And so Peter encourages these believers and you and I, by extension, to be as obedient children. And here's what it goes on to say, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. Now, obviously, he's speaking to people who had gotten saved out of sinfulness. They were living just a wicked life, if you will. And he says, look, now that you're his children, let's live obedient to him. Amen. Don't live like you used to live when you were ignorant. Amen. When you were lost, when you were unsaved. Amen. Don't fasten yourself like that. Don't live like that, if you will. And so he says in verse number 15, but as he, now we're talking about God, but as he which hath called you, by the way, the day that you got saved, you heard the call and you heeded the call. Amen. You heard the Lord, the Spirit of God worked through somebody, through the word, and calling you to be saved. You heard the gospel message and you responded and you got saved. Amen. He that hath called you, it says in verse number 15, is holy. So be ye holy in all manner of conversation. That word conversation means lifestyle. Peter, by the Spirit of God, is calling God's children, God's people, to be obedient to the Lord, amen, in every area of life. Now, I believe today that there's a lot of people that are holy on Sunday. It's easy to be holy on Sunday, amen. Very easy. It's easy to look holy on Sunday, if you will, amen, or whenever your church gatherings are, amen. But the fact of the matter is, we need to be holy in all manner of life, every area of our life. Those that are holy in some areas, especially the visible areas for the sake of others, we call them hypocrites. Amen. Well, saith Isaiah that they draw nigh to me with their mouth and with their lips. They honor me, but their heart, the inward man, is far from me. And there's a lot of people, boy, they know how to roll in church and be holy rollers on Sunday, but throughout the week, there's nothing holy about them. Amen. You and I need to be obedient to the Lord, not just in front of the preacher or in front of other Christians, but we need to be obedient to the Lord. And when actually nobody but the Lord is watching. And by the way, that's the toughest. What you are in the dark when it's only you and the Lord is what you really are. Amen. And that's the call of Peter. In fact, that's what we're talking about this morning. Look at verse number 16 as he goes on. He says, because, and here's why we need to be holy, as he is holy. And by the way, let me just say this. You and I cannot be as holy as God is in all of his holiness. There's a verse in scripture that says, only thou art holy. What that means is God is separate, above and beyond everyone and anyone. There's no one beside him that's omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient. We can never be. And that also takes Mary out of the picture as well. Amen. But there's holiness that you and I can have that we can connect with the Lord's holiness. Amen. We can be as clean as we possibly can, as loving as we possibly can, and so on. Amen. Now, verse number 16, he says this, because it is written. And that's a wonderful, wonderful statement. It is written. In fact, that reminds me of Matthew chapter 4, Luke chapter number 4, where the Lord Jesus himself said three times, it is written. Written. Thank God for the written word. Amen. Every time the devil knocks on our door with a temptation, we ought to be able to say, hold on a minute. I can't do that because it is written. Amen. And that's exactly what the Lord Jesus did in the wilderness. Tempted like you and I. The Bible says he was tempted in all points. Amen. What's that mean? He was tempted with the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, just like we are. That's the avenues that the devil travels. That's the avenues in this world. For all that is in the world, 1 John chapter number 2, is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. It's these avenues the devil works on us. Amen? And he tried to get the Lord Jesus on every one of these avenues. And with every one of them, the Lord said, quoting from Deuteronomy, it is written. It is written. In fact, I have a little message I entitled, because it is written, Satan can be smitten. Amen? And that's the truth. By the way, that's why you and I need to get the word in our heart. Because if we don't know, my people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. If we don't know the scriptures, we can't have the sword of the Spirit. Amen. In fact, that's what Ephesians talks about, the armor of God and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Amen. You and I need to be holy and to be what we ought to be. But we got to be able to say, hold on a minute. It is written. Now, here's the question. He says in 1 Peter 1:16, because it is written, be holy for I am holy. The question is, where is it written? Well, it's written in the book of Leviticus. Amen. In fact, in Leviticus, I want you to turn with me for a moment. Leviticus chapter number 11, please. That's where it's written. We're going to look at where it is written. I'm starting to get heated up a little bit here, so we're going to... I think it's got to do with that battery and that thing there. No, amen. Leviticus, if you would, chapter number 11. I want to take a look at, just for a moment, where it is written. By the way, the topic that I'm preaching on this morning, and I believe to spend the day on, is being holy. Being holy, amen. Being holy is synonymous with being godly, amen. Being godlike, if you will. And boy, this is what we need to be in this day and age. Because like I said, there's a lot of God's children out in this world, and I'll be honest with you, most people don't even know they're God's children. Amen. And that's the sad thing. If they're not, if it's not understood that they're God's children, what difference are they making in the world? Amen. I mean, there's a term that I noticed in the world that a lot of people are talking about. When they talk about good people, they say, well, they're salt of the earth people. Well, the fact of the matter is, you and I that are saved are to be salt of the earth. Amen. Matthew chapter number 5, Jesus said, you know, that, hey, you and I, we are to be the salt of the earth. If we're not the salt of the earth, wherewith will it be salted? If you and I as Christians don't make a difference, where's the difference going to be made? Amen. We're the light. Let your light so shine before men. There are some people to save, but they're basket cases. They got their candles hid under the bushels. Amen. That's why I call basket cases. By the way, there's nutty professors too. They're double-minded, unstable in all their ways. But nonetheless, that's another sermon in itself. But Leviticus chapter number 11, would you look with me, please? Talking about being holy. What do I mean? Being godly. By the way, I think the best way to put it is this. We looked at 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 14, as obedient children. Can I tell you what makes you and I holy? When we're obedient to the Lord. That's it. When you and I find God's will and follow it, that actually makes us holy. It makes us different, amen? Different than we were and different than most people are, amen? When you and I follow the Lord Jesus Christ, this world looks at us like we're strange. Instead of reacting and responding inappropriately to situations when we go through like the world goes through, if we act and react and respond appropriately, the world kind of looks at us like, wow, you know, why didn't you say this? Why didn't you do that? Well, because that's not the Lord's will for me to do that. Amen. I want you to look at Leviticus chapter number 11. Let's look at verse number 44 and 45. Verse number 44 and 45. Here's where it is written, where God told the children of Israel. And by the way, he uses the Old Testament example of the children of Israel, and he brings it up to you and I, Gentiles even, in 1 Peter chapter number 1. Look at verse number 44. First, or Leviticus 11, 44. For I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore, by the way, therefore is therefore a reason. He said this, I am your God. Because of that, here's what I want you to do. Watch what he says. Therefore, sanctify yourselves. And by the way, holiness has to do with a lot with you and I do. Amen. We, by the way, make the choice to do things that are right. Sanctify yourselves. Amen. By the way, I don't believe that there's people in here that have to be thrown in the shower. Is that correct? By the way, growing up when I was younger in youth camp, youth group, we had one kid in our neighborhood, in our youth group. He was afraid of water. He did not shower all year long. I kid you not. Wore the same clothes almost all year long. When we went to camp, we actually had to throw him in the shower. We threw away all his clothes. I gave him some of my clothes. He was a skinny guy, so my clothes, it looked crazy. But we got rid of everything. We threw him in the shower. I mean, we'd scrub his head with shampoo. And it was hilarious. But nonetheless, he stunk. He smelled all year long. But at camp, he got freshened up. Amen? I say that to say this. He didn't take the initiative to sanctify himself, to clean himself. So we got fed up with it, and we had to actually throw him in there and sanctify him a little bit. Amen? And I say this, when it comes to spiritual sanctification, you and I have an opportunity to do something to clean up ourselves, amen, by the grace of God. And we'll look at a few of those things in a little bit. But I want you to look at verse number 44. He goes on, therefore sanctify yourselves and be ye holy. The word holy also means to be set apart. Sanctify, set apart. This building right here is not the church. The people that are saved, baptized, a part of this church. This building represents the church, and the world understands that. This building houses the church when we gather together. I don't believe that Pastor Freeman or this members of this church would allow somebody in the community to rent the property to throw a crazy worldly party. I mean, they want to bring in the rock band. They want to bring in the booze and the alcohol. They want to bring in the scantily dressed dancer. They want to do all of that with this building. You know what you would tell them? No can do. Amen. This building, although it's not the church, it represents the church. And therefore, we're going to maintain the holiness of this building. So what does that mean? This building was purchased and set aside for God and God alone. God's use only. This is God's house. We're not going to have all kinds of craziness going on in God's house. In fact, that reminds me of the temple. That reminds me of when they were making merchandise and use. By the way, I believe personally that the Jewish people were supposed to reach the Gentiles. They didn't care about the Gentiles. In fact, it was in the Gentile court where I believe they were making merchandise and making money. Because they didn't care about their mission, they used up that Gentile court, that space, for something else. And the Lord went through and he cleansed the temple. And by the way, here's what he said. My house shall be called of all nations a house of prayer. Not just for the Jewish people. Amen? And the fact was, they were using the Lord's house for their own self. Amen? God's use only. This is holy. Amen? By the way, the house of God ought to be holy. I want you to look, read on verse number, for I, the Lord, am holy, and neither shall you devise yourself with a manner of creeping things, and so on. Look at verse 45. For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy. Why? For I am holy. You and I are told in 1 Peter, if you're children of God, if you're saved, live like it. By the way, look with me. Turn to Romans chapter number 12. I have 3 points that I'd like to try to convey throughout the day. And here's the first point. I wanted you to get it. When I consider being holy, I want us to see 3 things. Number one, I want us to see the purpose of the Lord. The purpose of the Lord. It is the Lord's purpose for you and I that are saved to be holy. To be set apart for God and God's use. Amen? It is the Lord's will. Look at, we see it's the Lord's purpose, the purpose of the Lord. Romans, if you would, chapter number 12. Romans chapter number 12. And want to look at familiar scripture. You know this, I'm sure. Most of you do. Romans chapter 12. Look at verse number 1. Here's what Paul said to the believers in Rome. He said this, I beseech you therefore, in other words, I beg you therefore, brethren. By the way, holiness has to do with those that are saved, brethren. If you're not saved, you can't be holy. You got to be saved first. Amen. You can't live a holy life unless you're saved. Amen. He goes on to say, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, in light of how merciful God's been to us, that you present, give, or yield your bodies a living sacrifice. See, sacrifices to God were to be holy, set apart for God, right? What's the next statement? Holy. Acceptable unto God, which means pleasing to the Lord. And go, guess what he says? Which is your reasonable service. Paul is encouraging believers that are saved. Listen, give your bodies to the Lord. Amen. For the Lord. Amen? In fact, the book of Romans is a great book because the first part of it, chapters 1 to 4, or actually 1 to 5, talk about how we're saved by grace. Chapter 6 to 8 deals about how God changes us, cleans us, sanctifies us, and so on. And then here it gets into the practical. You and I that are saved need to give our bodies to the Lord. Listen, we say the house of God is a separated building because it houses God, if you will, when we get together. But how about our bodies? Know you not, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? Now here's what it says, and you are not your own. See, you and I ought to live lives for the Lord with our bodies because our bodies are no longer ours, amen? They're for the Lord and for the Lord's use. Amen. In fact, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 to 19, it says, you and I are redeemed not with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb. Amen. You and I have been saved. We have the Holy Spirit in us, and He wants to work through our lives. We got to make sure we're holy, we're clean. I want you to turn to another portion of Scripture. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Now, did you guys recently go through 1 Thessalonians 4? You're still in it. Okay. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Because I remember listening to a couple messages online, and I remember hearing Pastor Freeman talking about this. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. See, we ought to be holy. We ought to be set apart for God's use only. Amen? Our bodies, just like this building is set apart for God's use, our bodies need to be set apart for God's use. Amen? And I want you to look with me. It is God's purpose. We see the purpose of the Lord in reference to being holy, living for the Lord on a daily basis. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let's begin reading in verse number 1. Here's what Paul said to the Thessalonians. Furthermore, then, we beseech you. Again, by the way, it almost sounds like Romans 12, 1, where he said, I beseech you, brethren, right? He says, we beseech you, brethren. Again, he's speaking to saved people. And we exhort you by the Lord Jesus that as you have received of us how you ought to walk. By the way, Paul the apostle went and told these believers that got gotten saved. He says, here's how you ought to live. How you ought to walk is how you ought to live, right? You know what a lot of people don't like today? They don't like going to churches where the preacher gets up and preaches, here's how you ought to live. A lot of people don't like that. Amen? By the way, we're told that in our day that men will not endure sound doctrine. They don't want to hear it. They'll go after teachers because they have itching ears and they want to be satisfied. They want somebody to scratch their itch. Amen? Let me tell you something. Some of the biggest churches are the churches that won't tell people what to do. They'll just lay out a buffet and say, hey, pick and choose what you like. Can I get a witness on that one? Yeah. Some of the biggest churches are not the churches. By the way, I need to go to church and I need to hear the Lord speak to my heart. And I need sometimes him to lay. By the way, Nathan tried to speak to David in a roundabout way through a story. And guess what happened? David never got the picture. You remember that? When Nathan went to him and told him that story about the ewe lamb, and it was all about David and Bathsheba and killing Uriah, and all of a sudden David's just like, see, David wasn't right with the Lord. And you know what happens when people ain't right with the Lord? They have a hard time drawing conclusions. Can I get a witness on that? When you go to church and you're about as dead as a doornail, you really don't get it unless somebody comes and kind of uses words to kind of wake you up a little bit. And what happened was that David, he's like, boy, man, the man that did this, he ought to die and he ought to pay fourfold. And he didn't realize it was about him. Nathan had to finally say, hold on a minute, forget the little story. Let me tell you something. You're the man. Whoa. What did David say? I have sinned. You're right. I have sinned. Amen. We're living in a day and an age where people don't want. In fact, they mock preaching. Most things you don't see anymore. There's no more podiums. You know what I mean? It's just, you know, the guy getting up, giving a little speech or whatever. Amen. But people love it. Just like in the nation of Israel. My people love it so. They just love to hear people tell them how wonderful they are and everything else. Instead of saying, hey, this is how we ought to live. In fact, Paul said to the Thessalonians, listen, I told you how you ought to live. Amen. And he goes on to say, and how you ought to what? Please God. By the way, that's being holy Living for the Lord is what pleases the Lord. Amen? And that so you would abound more and more. In fact, he said, listen, you need to live right. You need to please the Lord in your life, and you need to grow at it. Amen? Look at verse number 2. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. Hold on a minute. You got too many. Oh, yeah, we don't have no commands in the Bible for us today. Sure we do. Amen? Paul the Apostle told them how the Lord commanded them to live and so on. Look at verse number 3. He goes on to say this to them. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. That's holiness right there, right? That you should abstain from fornication. By the way, what is this world filled with now? Immorality, and it's getting worse. It's getting worse. They say Europe is one of the worstest, but whatever comes through Europe comes to here. Just like the gospel. So the bad stuff, amen? You can look over there and say, well, how is it now over there? Well, that's probably how it's going to be here, amen? And it's just getting worse. But you and I, it's God's will for us to be clean. Look at verse number 4. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Now, I know there's difference of opinions on what that means. Some believe it refers to the individual's wife, and many believe it refers to the individual's body, if you will, their own vessel. And I lean toward that. You and I ought to know how to possess our vessel in sanctification and honor. Look at verse number 5. Not in the lust of concupiscence. Big word there, right? Even as the Gentiles which know not God. You and I that are saved ought not to live so loose like the world lives. Amen? We ought not to live so unholy, ungodly, like the world lives. Amen? Verse number 7. Skip down to verse number 7. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto what? Holiness. See that? When we consider being godly, when we consider being holy, we have to understand, we see the Lord's purpose in this. It is his purpose for us to be holy. Now look at verse 8. Some people don't connect verse 8 to the text, but watch this. He therefore that despiseth, what's that mean? I don't want to hear that. I despise that. I don't want to hear that. Don't tell me how I ought to live. Amen. Watch this. He therefore that despiseth not man. You're not despising the preacher. When the preacher's preaching the word of God in its context and you don't like it, you're not despising him. Watch this. But you're despising who? God. But watch what he says. Who hath also given us his what? Holy Spirit. So that means the Holy Spirit has something to do with the holiness of God's people. Amen. When you don't like the truth of the word of God on how to live right, you're not despising the man that's preaching it. You're despising the Holy Spirit of God, by the way, who wrote it, who fills the man who's bringing it to us. Amen? Holiness. I want you to look at Hebrews chapter number 12 for a moment, please. Hebrews chapter number 12. See, the purpose of the Lord. We can see in the scriptures the purpose of the Lord for you and I to be holy, to be separated, to live lives for the Lord. Amen? By the way, holiness has nothing to do with perfectness. Amen? None of us can be perfect. Some people get this idea of being holy means being perfect. No, it don't. God would never frustrate us to tell us to live a life we could never live.
Amen?
Amen? I would never ask a toddler to come up here and please move the piano for me. Why? That would frustrate that toddler. He could never do what I'm asking him to do. Now listen, the Lord is not asking us to be perfect. He's asking us to be what he wants us to be and keep on trying to be that. I love what Paul the Apostle said in Philippians chapter number 3. He said, look, I've not arrived yet. I'm not there yet. I've not attained. But this one thing I do, I keep going forward. I keep pressing toward tomorrow. I forget those things that are behind, and I keep on pressing forward. Listen, you'll never reach perfection in this life, but it doesn't mean we can't try to keep on going higher and higher and higher for the Lord. Pressing on the upward way, right? New heights I'm gaining every day, and so on. Higher ground. That's what we're trying to do. Not perfect ground. You know, I don't want to get into that because I'm ready to get into another point, but look at Hebrews chapter number 12, if you would, please. Hebrews chapter 12. So we see the purpose of the Lord. If you're his child, if you're saved, it is the Christian's battle on a daily basis to live like it. And by the way, I will not get up and lie to you and say, well, the Christian life is an easy life. I have to say this, like I read in many books. It's not an easy life. It's an impossible life in and of ourselves. Without Christ's strength and without, I could do all things through him. It is a battle. It is a battle. Amen. By the way, you know what I'm talking about if you're trying to live for the Lord. We have so many battles that we have to fight and face day in and day out. Amen. And boy, we're tempted to blow it here. Amen. We're tempted to blow it there. And might I say, sometimes I do blow it here. I do blow it there. Amen. But I'll tell you what I love about the Christianity. God knows we can't be perfect. Hey, the encouragement in 1 John 2 is, my little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. Encouragement, don't sin. But if any man sin, we have an advocate. We have a lawyer who's never lost a case. A Jewish lawyer. Amen? And you don't have to pay. Jesus Christ, the righteous. Boy, when I can't be totally righteous and I fail and I falter, I go to the righteous one and I confess my sin and he forgives me and washes me clean. Amen? Hey, the victorious Christian life is a series of new beginnings. Amen? We don't have to wait every year to get back on track for the Lord. Amen? Every day is a new day, new mercies and so on. Amen? Look at Hebrews chapter number 12. Let me give you another thought here within the context of, look, we see the purpose of the Lord when it comes to being holy. We see the purpose of the Lord. Some people think that how we live don't matter. Well, it doesn't matter that you're saved. You live in it. No, it does matter. It does matter how you live. It matters for your own health and well-being, and it matters for the sake of others as well. Amen. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. Look at verse number 14, please. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 14. It is the purpose of the Lord for you and I to be godly, to be holy. Hebrews chapter 12, look at verse number 14. Follow peace with all men. Now look at the next statement. And what? Holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Now let me just say this. The word follow here has to do with pursue. Pursue. What he's saying here is pursue peace, but pursue holiness. By the way, you pursue holiness and you get a hold of it, you'll have the peace that comes with it. Amen? Pursue holiness. What does that mean? That means this. You and I have to actively do the things that we have to do to be the people we have to be. Amen? If somebody's pursuing something, then that means they're doing something about getting something they want. When somebody pursues a career, I want to be, this, that, or the other thing. Well, if you're pursuing that career, you go through the school to get it. Amen? You do the things you have to do to get a hold of what you're trying to get a hold of. And if you and I are going to try to get a hold of a good, godly life, we have to do the things that help produce that. And by the way, let me encourage you here. You being here this morning is a part of that. Amen? You coming to the gathering this morning is a part of pursuing holiness. Amen. It's a part of pursuing becoming more and more what God wants us to be. Amen. And that's a wonderful, wonderful truth. Amen. Well, we're going to close up at this time so everybody, especially the men, can use the restroom downstairs and so on. And Lord willing, we'll pick up with the next point in our service here. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word this morning. Thank you for allowing us to focus just a little bit today on the fact that those of us that are saved, we really need to live for you in this ungodly world, that we might be the salt and light we ought to be. Pray you'll bless the time of fellowship, Lord, before the morning service, and continue to bless and protect the preacher, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.